allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please take your seat. Let the record show that this meeting has been properly advertised and that there is a quorum. Present is myself, Gary Wilson, David King, Mike Parashkevis, Jim Dedes, Chuck McKinney, Don's not here.
Don's not here.
Gotcha. And Marty Seitz. This is a public hearing of the Dewey Beach Planning Commission. The purpose of this meeting is to, one, hold a public hearing followed by commission discussion and a vote on the recommendation of town commissioners on the proposed amendment to Chapter 101, Floodplain Management. Two, to discuss priorities for future discussions on the flooding and sea level rise. And three, discuss and possibly vote on recommendations to the town commissioners regarding the annual progress towards the goals and objectives of the 2007 comprehensive plan. There is a lot of materials in the back. Some we'll be referring to today, and others we've referred to in the past. But for those of you in attendance, you just might find it interesting to read through it. There is the agenda back there. There's the draft minutes from November the 16th. There's a document entitled Sea Level Rise Input from the September 28th Planning Commission meeting. There is the Sea Level Rise definitions. There is a worksheet for the Municipal Comprehensive Plan Annual Report. There is a proposed ordinance to amend 101 Floodplain Management. And there is the Sea Level Rise Scenarios Map. I'd like to begin the meeting by opening a public hearing regarding ordinance to amend Chapter 101. I'm sorry. We need to start with the draft minutes first. For I wasn't in attendance at this meeting, but has everyone read over these minutes? Mm-hmm. And if they, please.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept.
I had two comments.
Okay.
Fairly trivial, but there's an acronym in there called NFIP, which I now understand stands for National Flood Insurance Program. In fact, it's in our. But I would ask that we spell that out. Maybe the first time we use it, it's actually used in the last page of the notes.
Fine.
And then the on line 44, I would add the phrase a reconstruction expense. And then that goes in front of set at $5,000. In other words, there's a $5,000.
Which page?
That's the first page, line 44.
First page, okay. During subsequent commission, let me see. The threshold, is that where you are?
Yeah, the threshold is I believe the threshold is the reconstruction expense, not a building permit expense.
Fine, I can clarify both of those.
Okay, and I shouldn't have been confused, but when I went through there, I thought, gee, that's a $5,000 building permit expense. And no, it's not. It's really a construction expense. So I think that's right. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll second the motion with those clerical errors.
Okay. All in favor of approval of the minutes with those clerical changes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great.
Carrie, can I take a minute to talk about minutes?
Sure.
The town commissioners have, the town manager has recommended, and the town commissioners seem to have adopted very abbreviated minutes, basically pointing to timestamps on a recording. And if there are any motions and votes, the language of the motion and the votes, as opposed to three or four pages of notes. That does this commission, do these members have a preference one way or the other to provide me some guidance in moving forward on the minutes? I find this set of minutes helpful to me rather than going back and listening to the tape, but...
Well, I like those minutes too. I think they're very informative, complete.
Right.
What's wrong with being complete?
I think they're very complete, and I would agree with David. I think the town manager's position on the minutes was they were able to be, there's an official recording at Town Hall, and usually on the website, and I don't think we have that kind of capacity at this point unless we start recording every minute officially and submitting it and putting it on the web and keeping a copy of it.
We do that as...
It's not on the actual...
Are you talking about recording?
The recording.
The audio recordings are on the website.
This isn't being audio recorded right now.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. I'm sorry. Where are you recording this?
Right here.
Yeah, but I'm saying on the town recording, it's not being recorded. What I'm saying is, then we need to have a tape of this on file at Town Hall.
You
where else? I wasn't aware of that. Where? To who?
It goes up on the website.
You're putting it on the website?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. So this is officially?
Yes.
Okay.
Then
I would say that I'm okay with just doing it on the web. If it's going to go on the web, then I'd say it'd be a lot easier than keeping these lengthy notes on you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. David stops doing these minutes, they're not going to be that detailed, that's for sure. Anybody else is not going to be that detailed.
No, I agree. I think it would make the job for the secretary a lot easier.
So, David, you are recording this, and you will transcribe it onto a format that's appropriate for their website, and it'll go onto the town website. Is that what you're saying?
For the past number of years, all of the meetings get recorded, and those recordings are posted on the town website.
Okay, so that's
as an audio, I don't know, as a WAVE formatted document.
In addition, then we have our three-page
MP3. And in addition to which, you get a synopsis of the salient issues. It's not verbatim. It just deals with, issues and concerns.
I mean, I would say it's the secretary's prerogative, or assistant chair's prerogative on what you want to do, and I think either one of them is acceptable, or both of them. Certainly both of them are acceptable, and you have a little bit of a concern about any conflict had not been resolved. If somebody were to screen this thing and it turns out to be, Mr. Getty making the motion instead of Mr. McKinney, and a conflict of that sort might be an issue in the future. So I would prefer to go one way or the other, either the recording or the other. But, we've had both in the last 2 years, so nothing's happened. I would just leave it up to you, David.
Okay.
I'm kind of in agreement with David and Harry. I like the long format.
Yes, sir. State your name, please.
Jim Laird, Reed Avenue. We're getting ourselves into more and more litigation that I'm intimately familiar with, because the lawyers are coming in and we're not getting into an in-depth discussion of what the legislative intent of an action was. And I think the more documentation that we have moving forward, especially in this area of planning and zoning where they seem to be getting more and more involved, the more documentation we have in writing with an approval process like you just went through, it is going to help the town in the future. These arguments that we're getting on ambiguity and lawyer participation, I think, are just going to continue to escalate if we have less and less information.
Okay, I think I have some guidance.
Okay, great. With that said, I'm going to open up. Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to open up a public hearing. We're going to introduce the Chapter 101 and the proposed ordinance regarding that. And then we're going to have a chance for the public to speak. And then we're going to close the public hearing. And then the Planning Commission will vote. So with that being said, we're going to open the public hearing at this time. And I'm going to ask Vice Chair David King to introduce the draft ordinance to amend Chapter 101 floodplain management.
Okay. Should I read this into the record as we normally do? So this is an ordinance to amend Chapter 101, Floodplain Management of the Code of the Town of Dewey Beach, Delaware, to prohibit the elevation of non-conforming structures that encroach in any required setback or setbacks above the minimum elevation required by FEMA and town code of residential and non-residential structures in flood-prone areas. Parentheses, that is to say, FEMA-designated VEAE and AO flood zones that have been substantially damaged or are being substantially improved. The synopsis is that this ordinance amends Section 10111, which is entitled Elevation, Floodproofing, and Construction Standards, applicable within general floodplain area. One, to apply to all flood-prone areas, not just the general floodplain areas. That is to say, FEMA-designated VEAE and AO special hazard areas, not just AE areas. Two, to limit the extent of elevation of residential and non-residential structures that encroach in a required yard, i.e. setback. Three, to prohibit elevation of any structure such that the final height of the elevated structure would exceed the townwide 35-foot height limit. Section 1. Amend Section 10111 to apply to all flood-prone areas. Replace, quote, general floodplain area, end quote, FEMA-designated, which is the FEMA-designated AE flood zones, with, quote, flood-prone areas, paren, i.e., FEMA-designated VE, AE, and AO special hazard areas, end quote. Everywhere it occurs, including in the section title. So this currently, this ordinance, as written, 10111, only applies to general floodplain area, which in the town code is AE flood zones. It does not apply to the other two types of flood zones currently in town. Section 2. Amend subsection 10111A, residential structures, to clarify that encroaching residential structures in flood-prone areas shall not be elevated more than the minimum amount necessary, paren, plus some small positive variance to accommodate measurement accuracy, close paren, to conform to FEMA NFIP floodplain requirements as consistent with section 18560 of the zoning code. Amend 10111A as per the following redline text. And so by deleting the words, the general floodplain area, and in replacing that with all flood-prone areas, this would now read residential structure, and adding some text as you see in the draft document. Residential structures. Within all flood-prone areas, the lowest floor, including the basement, of all substantially damaged or new or substantially improved residential structures shall be elevated to at least 1 foot above the 100-year flood elevation. One, except that residential structures that encroach in any required setback area or areas shall not be elevated more than 1.10 foot, 1 1/10 foot, above the 100-year flood elevation under this section. Two, under no circumstance shall any structure elevated under the section exceed the town-wide 35-foot height limit. And section 3 is to amend subsection 10111B, non-residential structures, to clarify that encroaching non-residential structures in flood-prone areas shall not be elevated more than a minimum amount necessary, paren, plus some small positive variance to accommodate measurement accuracy, close paren, to conform to FEMA NFIP flood standards. And basically it is the same modifying language as above in 101A, which is residential structures. Section 4 is severability. Section 5 provides for formatting and editorial changes and final approval. Section 6 is adoption.
Does anyone like to speak to this ordinance? Yes, sir.
you're recording or not, so I'll come up here. Jim Laird, Reed Avenue. Again, you know, just for clarification, I think some of the things that we've been silent on here need to be addressed in the future. Situation that we're currently involved with and a couple situations in town. I sat yesterday and I listened to a lengthy discussion on section 185, 87 in the code on driveway and driveway requirements. And I also sat here and listened to the Board of Adjustment and listened to the discussions between the lawyers where they're dealing with one section of the code and not dealing with the other applicable, which I thought and a number of folks and officials in the town thought and our attorneys thought were applicable sections in the code. So the fact that you're silent on some of the other sections and the applicability of folks coming into compliance, the neighborly thing down on Reed Avenue with the situation we're dealing with, we were sitting on our hands getting properties out of the flood zone. When they started to exceed what was being proposed, not even approved at this point, being proposed by the town, it was a neighborly thing to do to just sit there and be quiet. Then it's gotten stretched, and now you have a situation where you have a parcel of land that already has a 20-foot driveway, has a 10-foot, an additional 10-foot driveway, that's an exception, I think, that was previously approved by the town. And nowhere did I hear in the Board of Adjustment discussion, or have I heard since, and I heard that the folks that are looking for this addition to be approved, was the requirement for yet another driveway on this parcel of land. So I guess somehow, and I'm not a lawyer, somehow in this document, if you're going to allow non-conforming properties to elevate, which I think is the proper thing to do, there has to be some discussion on some of these non-conformance issues. The other thing is, as you go up higher and higher, I know, using this property as an example again, they have as much as a minimum of a 3-foot 7-inch setback that's going to be further breached because of the requirement for additional stairs and a landing to go into the house. So as you go up, and I heard the discussions this morning as folks got up and talked, you know, your emotions get a hold of you and say, well, it sounds like the higher is better and it's the right thing to do. You got to look on the impact of some of the neighbors when you have non-conforming properties going higher and higher and higher. I mean, again, the neighborly thing to do, let them get it out of the flood zone, get them to the required height, whether you're going to do 6+1, 7+1, 7+2, whatever it is. But you got to remember, every time you go higher and higher, you're further breaching the setback that are already breached because of the elevation factors. Was it clear?
Gotcha. Thank you. And anyone else? Okay. Then at this time we will close the public. Okay, yes, sir.
Carrie Mondel, Reed Avenue. I just had a couple of questions I was hoping you guys could clarify for me. Has the commission given any thought to properties that may be close to the 35-foot height limit? And in order to adhere to what you guys are wanting us to do, which is getting up to the FEMA recommended level, what happens if the property has to encroach on the 35-foot height limit?
Well, we haven't really, you know, today is the day for that discussion.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to be sure that, you know, I don't know exactly where Snug Harbor is, but I would assume we're pretty close to the 35-foot height limit, but yet we have 6 inches of water in our buildings during Hurricane Sandy. And so I wanted to at least mention that, that you guys should give some consideration to the 35-foot height limit, which I know is a touchy situation in town. The second thing that I wanted to mention is the Hurricane Sandy flooding. I think the highest recorded level was 5 feet 4 inches or so was the flood level recorded. And I'm just wondering if the new height you guys are talking about having people get up to, if the base flood elevation plus 1 foot is going to be adequate to, you know, when the worst case scenario happens, are you asking everybody in town to be up high enough by going the base flood elevation plus 1 foot, and maybe you should consider going a little bit higher? I think that's it. Do you understand my concerns?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, where you are right now, I believe, is an AE...
AE6.
It's AE6, and it's going to be rezoned either AE6 or VE7. And so that plus one takes you higher than Sandy.
Yes. Right, it does, but if that storm had come in a different, like, let's say, it had gone up to Chesapeake Bay, we would be looking at a whole different scenario in Dewey Beach, and, you know, you never know what the future is going to hold.
And
you guys should make plans to, you know.
On our list of things to consider in the future is an increase in the freeboard, which would increase that plus 1 foot.
So that's not part of this ordinance, the freeboard?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you.
It will become an effect when this now preliminary map that we're working off of will address what you just said. So whatever FEMA does, whatever you do now, we've got to conform to FEMA, so
right.
That's going to be taken care of anyway.
Okay, at this time...
just one more quick comment?
Yes.
I forgot one. Jim Laird, Reed Avenue again. It's also been suggested by someone I've been working with that in addition to the paperwork that's been submitted, that maybe we need to require on these non-conforming properties how the proposed drawings, a lot of them, they require architectural drawings along with an engineering stamp, have a letter to accompany that to outline how it meets compliance. So it doesn't fall, everything doesn't fall back on the town officials and the building code and our lawyers. I mean, if folks want this exception, tell them, have them tell us how it's going to be in conformance or at least maintain the status quo that they currently have. I think we're spending a lot of time, like a Board of Adjustment hearing is very costly to the town. Having a good deal of that work done up front when the architects and the engineers are approving this prior to submittal and prior to the issuance of a permit.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Neil Cook, Chesapeake Street. After listening to today's town meeting, and listening to some of the commissioners, seems to me that the commissioners don't comprehend what you all do about planning and zoning. They really don't understand the philosophy behind planning and zoning. And I wonder if they understand that the idea behind planning and zoning is eventually to get non-conforming buildings to conform, unless they were absolutely in the situation where they can never conform. And it's not their fault because they were here before the town was incorporated or whatever, something along that line, extraordinary circumstances. I think the idea you all need to teach people and to probably when you come forth with plans and changings of zone regulations towards giving them to the commissioners or for recommendation to the commissioners, you need to explain to them what the philosophy is behind planning and zoning and what the general philosophy is, because behind the town, and everybody loved to say, I want to take care of my neighbors, until you're the neighbor that watches the neighbor's house ruin either your view or whatever, and it's an exemption that the town has given them. And it, you know, when you go from, when you have a town that was built like Dewey was, hodgepodge, and it's quirky and it's nice and it's really, really interesting to see, you know, interesting to feel like we want to keep our town quality and our way of life, so to speak. But you have to understand, or the people have to understand, that eventually some, most of the town, the majority of town, should eventually come into conformity. And if you build these things into perpetuity, you're building a problem into perpetuity. So.
Yeah, can I want to ask you, do you think that, do you think if a person has a view that they're entitled to that view all the time?
As long as they understand that, that other houses can be built legally, mm-hmm. that might impinge upon that view, that's fine. You know, that, I mean, no, I don't think that should, I don't think, I mean, the house across the street from me is built three stories tall. I no longer get to see the house behind it in the lake. But I knew that. That was legal. That was proper. That was, you know, it was an old farmhouse that had 6 foot high ceilings that were there. And I knew eventually that was going to go, and it didn't meet code at the time. So, as long as it's within the bounds of reason, yes. The problem is reason is what's in the law, and the law is supposed to be eventually to make them meet the zone, the regulations and the zoning codes eventually down the road. They're supposed to be heading in that direction.
Thanks for that.
Okay.
Would anyone else care to speak? Okay.
I would make a comment on the question you just asked Dale.
Well, let's get it out then.
You should sit out front.
I should. I'm going to be down here soon. It's a reasonable question. And the situation that we're faced with is we have, you know, four non-conforming units in front of us. I made an investment based on knowing that someday, based on the code, someday somebody could come in there and buy those four units and put up a building. What I'm now faced with, and what six of my neighbors are now faced with, is we made an investment based on following the code. I end up spending almost $500,000 before my project started because I found out that the building I purchased, if I wanted to raise it, was 8 inches out of compliance on one end and 4 inches out of compliance on another end, so I couldn't meet the setbacks, and we end up taking it down. Buying it, taking it down, getting the permits, getting everything started, it was $500,000 investment. Back to the driveway thing, came back and spent an additional $14,000 to come in compliance on the driveway, put the proper driveway in. But almost $515,000 to follow the law. Now folks are coming in and saying, we want what you have, but they're not willing to make the investment to come into conformance. So it's, you know, if it's done properly, yes. If it's done hodgepodge, as Dale said, it's a whole different issue. And do you want to, you know, eventually come into conformance, or is it going to, we're going to perpetuate the situation and just, you know, leave it go forever? I mean, and again, we were going to sit there and be quiet to do the proper thing and come out of the flood zone. But once you start enhancing your property and getting an additional use, it's a different situation.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Okay. At this time, we will close the public hearing and open it up to discussion amongst the commissioners. Who'd like to go first?
I'd be glad to go first. I think, I like the idea. First of all, I think the philosophy that we've adopted, at least I have, and I think I've been sympathetically, I've seen it in other commissioners, is that we really want to make changes to make sure that the people that occupy the properties today can continue to occupy those properties in the future, and making sure that we can adjust to it, and this includes the non-conforming properties that we had today. That being said, I like the idea of asking maybe specifically for an assessment of compliance that is filled out by the applicants on these non-conforming properties that, in fact, show that, in fact, they maybe reduced their variances or reduced the issues that they had. At the same time, they've gotten their property into a better position. Now, if they've added stairways and they've taken advantage of the fact that they're non-compliant, they've become more non-compliant, I see where we need to have some protection that's not the issue. So that's my kind of my view of maybe a modification we might have to something we have on the table here.
Well, my comment is going back to what was brought up about what P&Z should be doing and how everybody in town, including the commissioner, should understand. And I'm just basing it upon some past experience of other planning and zoning commissions that I made presentations to. I believe it's the applicant's responsibility to submit to the town an engineering, architect, survey, drawing done by a professional who knows what they're doing in that area of expertise and certify to their responsibility. Surveyor has property lines, elevations, and engineer designs, drainage, whatever, an architect, structural, whatever, and they certify by signing that plan, they certify to their professional responsibility. That comes to the town, and I think it's town planning commission in this case that I see its responsibility to determine what if they are compliant, if they are not compliant. I don't think we can leave it up to, and I don't know if you were getting towards that or not, but I don't think we can leave it up to the applicant to send a letter and say, I comply, I don't comply. Their drawings and their submission will show that once we look at it as planning commissioners, because we are more or less the enforcement agency of the planning of the zoning. We say, okay, this goes with zoning, this doesn't. And then you get back to the applicant and say, well, your additional deck isn't what we pictured in this application. It's non-compliant. That's what the Planning and Zoning Commission, I feel, should do, and people in the town should start to recognize that. If they want to submit, after we make a decision, or the future planning commission makes a decision that it's non-compliant, and they still want to pursue it, they can go to the Board of Adjustment. Now they have the Planning Commission's recommendation that this is a non-compliant request. We're going to refuse it because here it is. Then they can go to the Board of Adjustment and say, well, we want to put a deck here. It's up to the Board of Adjustment to say whether they passed a hardship test to do it. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, let me maybe clarify what I had in mind. This assessment of compliance would be maybe what we're requesting is an assessment of compliance that says there is no more, there are no additional non-compliances that have been submitted with this application as far as the applicant knows. And if that's not the case, then in fact there's an issue with the building permit. In other words, we're giving the building inspector a tab to look at. Now that doesn't mean it's the final word. I mean, he should look at the drawings, and if he sees something that's grossly missed by the applicant, somehow that's got to be some consequence to the applicant. I mean, the applicant can't give us a false listing or preposterous assessment that's not credible. I don't know how you enforce that, but we see it in when we do our taxes. We put down our income and statements and so forth, and then the IRS also has their 1099 forms and other things that they compare with what we put in there. If we show additional money, they're happy to accept it. If we don't show what they know is on the books, then we're due for that money. So it's kind of at least initial report card to understand where we are. Now, I would think that would be helpful just because some things may be missed by the building inspectors, very, very simply.
Well, you can have a checklist for every submission. I mean, that's just a suggestion. Well,
maybe the building inspector does a comprehensive job and it wouldn't be supported or wouldn't be aided by this assessment. But the spirit here is that we're allowing a modification of the building, but we are not allowing an expansion or increase in the non-compliance issues. Now, I know that there are staircase issues, if you have to put a staircase up to the elevated floor and so forth. I'm not real sure how to handle all that, but you know, if that's a necessary additional non-compliance, at least it's out there for everybody to assess and make a decision based on whether it's going to be hard or not. I mean, maybe the staircase can be put underneath the house instead of alongside the house.
Well, I think all submissions that are based on a non-compliant structure should come before the Planning Commission via a site plan for review, in addition to helping Bill make his review.
You think they should come to this commission?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're rebuilding a non-compliant structure or adding on, yeah, then I think a site plan should be sent into this body right here and given the time here and the public to discuss it and look at it and give review suggestions back to the town.
Well, that's certainly not in the code at the moment. Is that
the town manager has a word that he'd like to say.
I just want to ask a question, Mike. Is what you're suggesting or saying that if somebody owns a non-conforming house and they want to do an addition onto that house that doesn't bring it into compliance, that they would need to come before planning and zoning?
Yes. A site plan, yeah.
I would embrace that.
Pardon?
From my standpoint, I would certainly embrace that. As long as it's not too cumbersome.
Well,
that would be it wouldn't be as if going to Board of Adjustment where they would need to pay a $500 fee, so it would be low barrier to get a set of here. It would, I don't know how Bill feels about it, but it would certainly help me.
It's a typical step. It's taken in the tri-state area by numerous counties and municipalities where you have to hire a surveyor or a licensed engineer to prepare a site plan. And depending on what you're building, the complexity of it. It could be a simple drawing as long as a surveyor or an engineer signs off on its accuracy and what exactly is going. Now you have a proposal in black and white that's certified and we review it as far as its content in the zoning regulations, and then give our recommendations back. And public also gets a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to talk to Bill about it, but on the basis of it, I like the idea a lot.
Well, let's hear from Mr. Mears.
Who do the recommendations go to, Mike? Do they go to the town manager, or they go to the commissioners? Our recommendations?
Whoever signs off on that plan, on the permit next.
The
next
step. The town manager.
I'll do the building officials.
Would be a recommendation to the building.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a subdivision plan, and whoever signs off on, I mean, if it's a building permit or a subdivision plan or rezoning or whatever, it goes to that body as from our recommendations. And believe me, this is done all over the states. This is not like you're asking something that you're going to throw out to, oh, this is a burdensome. It's done everywhere. It's done everywhere.
Bill, what do you have? Do you have anything to say about that concept?
Well, all I know is everything that comes to us now, that what you're discussing, has to go to the Board of Adjustment if they want to do anything anyway. That's non-conforming, they want to expand over 50%. But right now, if it's less than 50%, they still have to meet setback requirements. I mean, it's in the code.
Yeah, if they come in and they automatically know it's a non-compliance, it has to go to the Board of Adjustment. They have to list what the encroachments are and what they're asking waivers or variances for. That automatically goes to the Board of Adjustment. But what I'm saying, anything else that comes in that they're trying to submit comes in with a site plan. And the Board of Adjustment, even we can make recommendations to the Board of Adjustment based upon the zoning regulations.
In other words, you just want to make it a two-step process now instead of a one-step.
It could be. Yeah. You know, that way it's been reviewed by the bodies and the public enough so that, you know, that later on in time there's no misconception about what was brought into the town and what was approved.
All right, this is an interesting discussion, but it's kind of getting off the subject. So let's bring it back.
This is written with language that, first of all, in response to Marty's comment earlier, we need to, I believe, define NFIP, and so we will do that as an editorial change. It's couched in the language of basically FEMA plus one, where the 1 foot is the town's freeboard requirement as part of its participation in the National Flood Insurance Program. I think that if we were to do nothing else to it, we should change that, the 1 foot requirement and the 1.1 foot requirement to the town's freeboard, with a definition of freeboard. So that if the town changes the freeboard, this automatically changes, rather than, you know, so if the town changes the freeboard to 2 feet, we don't have to come back and amend this piece of code again. And I like that. An alternative in consideration from this morning's discussion, where one town commissioner felt that owners of properties that were non-conforming relative to encroachment should be able to raise their property more than that required to meet FEMA. And we've discussed this before, and we came down to, you know, FEMA plus some small amount. We could make this 1.1 feet, we could change it to 2 feet, which would be our current freeboard plus 1 foot, or we could change it to 3 feet, which would then be fixed until we chose to change it, and it would be fixed as we increased the freeboard. Right? Their point was, well, maybe you want to protect your property for the next 50 years, and so you want to build a little higher than where the 100-year storm is today if you think sea level rise is coming. And so they should be able to build maybe a little higher than that. And as sea level rises, I mean, we wouldn't change it until sea level got up to 3 feet, and then you'd want to, of course, increase this to, you know, perhaps deal with that.
Okay, I have a question. So we're talking about the non-conforming homes right now only, or has this discussion regarding freeboard now talking about new homes as well, with regard to the freeboard and increasing that amount?
This ordinance is only with regard to residential structures that encroach in setbacks in flood-prone areas. Currently, new housing has...
If a person wanted to build a new home...
They would have to build to FEMA plus the town's freeboard.
Right. So, by increasing the freeboard on homes that are in an area that are less of the floodplain, like AO, then that could be a negative in terms of how much... the height of their home, but they could get into that box. Am I thinking correctly?
Yes.
But the reason that we wanted to have the sea level rise being the trigger that would increase these freeboard amounts, we're kind of throwing that out by doing this right now. As this,
I mean, to some extent, I mean, if sea level rises a foot and FEMA doesn't redo their flood insurance risk maps, then we have lost the added security inherent in the freeboard of, you know, the 1 foot freeboard currently. So, I mean, we can, if we did nothing else, I would suggest we change the 1 foot to the town's required freeboard, so that is, if the freeboard changes, this floats along with the freeboard, so we don't have to come back and readdress this if the freeboard changes. One could hardwire a number other than 1 foot with some positive variance to give an option to a property owner. You know, it could be 3 feet, freeboard's currently 1 foot, so it would give them some latitude. I know that it was the feeling of the Planning Commission the last couple of times we discussed this, to keep this at the absolute bare minimum, as part of an inducement for people to bring their property into conformity if they can.
Well, I'm still at wanting to keep it at the bare minimum. How with properties that aren't, you know, in trouble, for lack of a better word. Okay, so if I don't know if we could do this or not, but we could maybe for properties that this ordinance is discussing, as this ordinance is talking about, we could have it the freeboard at 3 feet or something, or whatever we choose. But for homes that aren't threatened, then we would keep it as it is right now.
Well, I think FEMA and Mike, you probably know better. I mean, the freeboard applies to all flood zones.
The freeboard is a self-imposed.
But it's not like we have three different kinds of flood zones. It's not like we would have three different freeboards.
I mean, it's yes, exactly.
One. Now, the freeboard requires that new construction meet that, whereas we could keep the freeboard at 1 foot but provide some additional relief to go 2 feet above the FEMA requirement or 3 feet above
this. Is all this being done so that buildings don't get elevated so high as to start obstructing views?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's to keep people from, you know, if you raise your building 8 feet, I mean, that's to your neighbor no different than building a second floor. Which you could do if you came into compliance, if you moved out of the setbacks or restructured to move out of the setbacks. But it's also to provide protection against future floods. And so, you know, if you believe sea level rise is coming down the road, then you might want to either address sea level rise, future sea level rise, as an increase in the freeboard measurement, or perhaps relaxing this term, which is now basically tied to the freeboard plus a tenth of an inch of variance.
I have a comment here when we finish. We're here, as I understand it, because we had a problem with the Board of Adjustment and Interpretation of two sections of our code. One dealt with flood elevation, which said FEMA plus one. And then we have the 185 section, which limits it to 1 foot above sea level. And the question that came up was, there was a little confusion, because the FEMA standard said a minimum. What I understand is this is capturing, setting a minimum and no more, that you can't go past the minimum. And that's what we're dealing with, I think we're dealing with. And now we're going into a different area. Do we want to go higher? Do we want to go lower? And I think that's a whole different topic at this point. So this is a clarification to prevent what I think the intent was, that for conforming properties, you can build up to the 35-foot level as long as you meet all the setback requirements, no problem. It's the non-conforming properties that, under the interpretation that we got from the Board of Adjustment, they could, in essence, go up to the 35-foot level and not meet the setback requirements based upon their interpretation of the minimum of FEMA, but not an absolute of no more than 1 foot. So that's what I think we're trying to do today. And I think once we start talking about going to different things, I think that's a whole different topic. Because we're increasing it further than what we've got now.
If my property was in a flood zone and I felt like it's not threatened by a flood, I'm on the ocean side, never been 62 storm, never touched it, you know, et cetera, then I would not like to have the freeboard increased, because I think that would, you know, would make my house smaller.
You may not have to if you own the property outright, but if you want to get, if you have a mortgage,
I understand.
You are stuck.
No, but I understand the plus one, because that's what it is now. But now by increasing the freeboard to plus three or something other than that, then that does affect me, and it affects me in my particular situation kind of like unjustly. Mm-hmm. It's not needed.
I understand. But this really has nothing to do with that topic. This topic right here, it really deals with creating, closing that loophole to keep it to a minimum of 1 foot and no more than the 1 foot above FEMA standard.
or to relaxing it to a minimum of 2 feet, or maybe 3 feet.
That's right.
But put a cap on it so it can't be 25 feet.
You know, DENREC recommends 1.5 feet. And a couple months ago, I sat with people at DENREC and I said, you know, why should we have a free board and why should it be 1.5 feet? The people who make these regulations, they say, makes sense. There's no other signs than that. As I said, you know, it just makes sense. You know, it gives you some leeway. So it's really, you know, a call. They recommend 1.5 feet, and it's really what you all think, you know, is going to be safe but not overburdensome to the community. I mean, that was their answer. I mean, I really tried to get a, you know, give me a good answer. What, you know, how why free board and how high? 1.5 feet just makes sense. Really? That's what I got to take back? Yep, that's it.
So my comment starting this discussion was, you know, if nothing else, we should change the 1.1 feet to the town's free board plus a maximum of an additional 1/10 of an inch.
Well, I think
that. And then the question is, should we change that to, you know, the free board plus a foot, the free board plus 2 feet, or should we change? I mean, we're going to discuss freeboard height at some future meeting. We're not discussing changing the freeboard here. Or should we provide some additional latitude to a homeowner who wishes to protect for the next 50 years rather than just protecting for the situation today? And so should we put a number in like 2 feet or 3 feet?
Well, I think that's different.
Yeah.
Entirely. I think the freeboard is the minimum. What we think is, we feel good, is an extra height to make them go to. Whether it's a foot and a half, or 2 foot, you know, that's one thing. But then allowing them to go above that, I think is a separate discussion. You know, and that has...
But this discussion, I mean, this, to some extent, is driving the discussion how much higher above the required FEMA plus freeboard can they go? And this says 1/10 of a foot in measurement error is as high as they can.
Well, that's a measurement error. So and what I'm understanding from that is somebody has to submit to us or the town, I'm going to this elevation. When it's said and done, they do an as-built and come back and it has to be within 1/10 of that submission. If it's not, then you know, you can go to the next step, whatever is necessary. If it's below or above it, then they're in non-compliance from what they submitted. And then, you know, the town has decisions to make, what are you going to do? So in other words, we're saying, all right, you know, we understand that in the course of building, you might get 1/10 off, a couple inches off here and there. We're not going to revoke your building permit or make you tear it down for that. We'll allow you, you know, we'll give you 1/10 of slop in your building construction. If you go over that, you know, you could be in trouble. That's what I understand.
Is that too restrictive, 1/10 of an inch, or is that?
No, I think that's acceptable. I mean, you know, I think that's, you know, every builder, every contractor should build within. If he's a responsible builder, they can build within 1/10 of a foot.
Yeah. 1/10 of a foot.
Let me ask this. When we talk about buildings to the FEMA standard, the FEMA already has a built-in insurance or a freeboard factor. In other words, they've got a 2 or 3 foot freeboard factor.
No, they don't. FEMA does not.
They don't.
FEMA has a set elevation. That's it. In an AE zone or the E zone, there'll be an elevation, and you got to be, your lowest horizontal structure has to be at or above it. They don't care how much above, but it has to be at least at that. In an AE zone, they have an elevation based upon an ABD 88, and it has to be at that or above it. They don't care how much above it. In an AO zone, AO2, your finished floor has to be 70 feet above the outside grade at that or above it. They don't have a freeboard. The freeboard is a town.
But the at level, is what we call that, the 100-year flood. Is that the 100-year flood where it's just going to touch that?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay, and then, so that's adequate now for the next time, you know, I mean, for the next 100 years. But when we build a freeboard onto that, we're really building sort of suspenders onto our belts in a sense.
Just like DENREC said, it makes sense to increase it by whatever you feel.
Yeah. Well, it's a luxury, or you know, it's maybe prudent to do that because we, you know, we think that there's going to be a 200-year storm that's going to be actually put above the 100-year storm. So, you know, whatever. But I guess getting back to, let me just say very briefly, what are we giving people that have non-conforming properties? By this ordinance, we're giving them the opportunity to, in fact, adjust their structure to be FEMA compliant and plus one or whatever we're going to be giving them. Is that a good description of what we're giving them?
That's the main.
And that's an important. That's an important thing. Now, I'm just looking at, looking at these non-conformances. If you have non-conformities in, driveways, you got three driveways. You got you're going to ask for a staircase that's outside of the setback and so forth. At that point, the zoning code needs to be clear that, in fact, you need to push back on those things. In other words, when you make those adjustments of height, you reduce your other non-compliances somehow. You get rid of some of the driveways, or you get rid of the staircase that's outside of the footprint or whatever.
Marty, I think that's a reasonable point. I pled that argument before the Board of Adjustment as well as the same argument you get. But they went back to the other side that said you can raise it above the minimum without regard to the setback. And what we're trying to do is close this, exactly what you're trying to say, so that they... I think the comment on what Mr. Cook had brought up was that the idea is get people to conform, not to just be able to build and not have a non-conforming property and then go up to the 35-foot level.
Right, and does this ordinance do it?
I think so. I think
this, in conjunction with the modifications we made at 185, mm-hmm. because if I recall correctly, we addressed the fact in 185 mm-hmm. if you're building in the same footprint, you can't add a staircase and be in the same footprint.
Right.
So all you're doing is going straight up.
Right.
So I think this does address it in conjunction with
in conjunction with that. Right. I think clearly explains that you cannot increase your living space or footprint of the building. You can go up, but you can't get steps.
And on the elevation, as far as increasing or not increasing, the comments I've heard from the general public, which has not been brought up here today, is I'm going to be able to park my car underneath. You can't adjust for everything. And that's what, mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing. It's not I want an extra foot or an extra 2 feet.
It's an extra 5 feet or
I want as much as I can get so I can park under.
Well, if you have a conforming property, that's permissible. True. If you have a non-conforming, you're stuck with what you have. And that seems to be a reasonable position for the town.
Well, I mean, is it really? Because, we need parking. And the town lacks parking spaces. To get a couple of cars off the street and underneath the house, why wouldn't that be a positive step?
Well, it's not what was laid out in this by ordinance, that's for sure.
Harry, when I attended that meeting that came up, that is changing the configuration of your building structure. When you're elevating it up 5 to 7 or 8 feet to get your car in there, you are definitely changing your configuration.
Mm-hmm. That's a little loud.
That's some on deaf ears.
Yeah.
They went back to a minimum of 1 foot that you could exceed the minimum.
At some point, these property owners are going to have a choice. So that is, if they're 1/4 of a non-conforming property and the other 3/4 are also non-conforming, somebody may want to put that property together to be conforming.
Right.
And at that point, they can put all their parking underneath their building because they have that option. So in a sense, we're kind of pushing them, community, towards a conforming property, which I think is the right way to go. Now,
and we're also allowing them to make adjustments to deal with the FEMA stand for non-conforming.
And that's the benefit. Yep. We're not giving them parking under the right properties.
You're not giving them free access to violate town setbacks, which we have in the other section of the code. So we're trying to marry the two together so they're consistent, and that's what I see this ordinance doing.
I see some hands up out here. I'd like to remind everyone that the public portion of this meeting is closed for this part right now. Anyone else?
So I'm looking for some guidance here. I think we should change the 1 foot to the term freeboard and define freeboard.
Where would we define that?
We would define that in as a definition within the code. So there would be a section that said, in here that would say at least for the time being, would be a definition of free board equals whatever.
Whatever it is.
You know, and ultimately, you know, we need to amend Chapter 1 of definitions so that we put free board in there. But, I mean, it's typical in our code that within certain sections, it says for the purposes of this section, this term is defined in this way. So, I mean, we could define free board rather than 1 foot, because, I mean, my only point is if we change the free board, we don't have to come back and address this. I mean, alternatively, we could leave it at one foot, 1.1 feet, and just come back and address it.
No, the free board 1.1 is a tolerance that they have to build within. Mm-hmm. If we said 1 foot, we're giving them an extra tenth of tolerance. The free board will be, if you said 1 foot, 1 foot.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it would be free board plus 0.1 feet. I mean, the point raised was, I mean, often you have to be higher than or lower than, and nobody cares if you are how much higher or lower. But in this case, FEMA requires you to be higher. The town wants you to be no higher than. And then we, I mean, the guy who raised his houses came in and said, well, you've got to give me, you know, a little break so I can meet, you know, make sure FEMA's okay with it.
Well, I don't know where it would fall in the codes, but where it would be put. But I recommend that you,
or we can
approve just a free board number, and then allow in the code somewhere a tolerance of 1/10 of a foot, so that when Bill gets an application of a certain elevation, say elevation 5, and that's your free board, and they do an as-built survey and it comes back at 5.1. No problem.
So I can take care of that. That's a good idea. I can define freeboard as, you know, something with a tolerance of 0.1 feet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, here we can just put FEMA plus the town's freeboard.
Yeah.
Done.
And again, the distinction would be to non-conforming properties, because conforming properties could go freeboard plus 2 feet or something.
This only deals with residential properties that encroach, that are in a flood. No, this is fairly limited.
It's allowing non-conforming properties to build to the minimum standards of new construction, is basically what
basically.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it gets them out of the flood zone, gets your insurance rates lower, and that's what we were trying to achieve, safety and, you know, and better construction for non-conforming properties.
So I'm hearing that the consensus from here today is that not to raise it, I heard about how we're going to do the free board, that's fine, but we're not thinking of increasing the free board at this time. No one feels that's necessary.
I'm good.
Okay, how about does someone want to make a motion?
I mean, I move we approve this with the minor change about defining free board and recommend to the town commissioners for their consideration and approval.
I will second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And next we'll move on to discuss the priorities for future discussions on flooding and sea level rise. Is there a document with that?
Yes.
And that was the resilience?
That's the sea level rise input for September 28th right. Planning Commission meeting. About 7 pages long and has 20 some odd items on it.
So, you know, this would be a good time to have the discussion regarding what the models are concerned about, you know, with the, what do we do with a house that is at 30 feet, 32 feet with what we've just done, and amongst other things.
Well, Harry, I was kind of hoping that what we did here was rather than discuss that in particular, that we look at this list and pick out the top three or four high priority items to address at the next couple of meetings. And I agree
that would be one of them.
I agree that that is my number one top priority.
It's going to be a toughie.
And it's going to be a toughie. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we're going to have to address that. And sooner rather, you know, sooner is better than later. Mm-hmm.
Is there any other items amongst this group of items that we want to put on for the next meeting?
Well, I flagged four that I thought would be challenges. Number one was this 35-foot issue relative to elevation. Don Gritty did a walk around the last couple of weeks trying to burn off his holiday excesses. He said that there's something like 79 properties in the flood zone, in basically the Rehoboth Bay Basin area, that if they were elevated to base FEMA flood standards would likely broach 35 feet. Now, you might say that's a lot, you might say that's not a lot, but I mean, this would impact a significant number of people. And I think it's an important issue to deal with. The second issue is increasing freeboard. I think the current freeboard provides a reasonable buffer for today. But if people building a house, they're building a house for, you know, 30-year mortgage, 50 to 75 years. They would like their house to be viable. And, you know, projections are sea level rise is going to go up a foot or two or three or six in that period. And I think we should set today a standard that will hopefully ensure that houses are habitable for the next 30 to 50 years. We talked about modifying 101.15a to prohibit the expansion of housing channelward of mean high tide as it is on the ocean side, and possibly to put a freeboard into that as well, to protect against future sea level rise. This basically says that you can't expand a house that is inundated on a daily basis. And then the fourth would be to modify 101.15b, which defines substantial improvements at 50%, to turn that down to a lower number, in part to provide people who have a third of their structure damaged to elevate it.
Sounds good to me. I mean, we're not going to discuss those items today.
Right. I mean, we're just going to, you know,
what's going to be the future. I think that those items are,
I think they're all hard issues to discuss. And are, you know, potentially controversial, but I think that's why we're doing this. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments?
What is our timeline for? I mean, we just approved this ordinance with the modifications to it, which is good, great. Is this going to? We're going to go next month. To the commissioners with this?
Yeah. This will go to the commissioners at their next town meeting.
And then the other parts will follow as we create them. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're not under any constraints that I understand. We're just moving down the line with regard to sea level rise.
Good. And it's our choice, obviously, to put it all together in a package 6 months from now, or actually put it in as we get it developed. And I certainly concur with putting together as we putting it forward as we develop, as it's being developed, because I think that helps us with feedback and helps us improve the continuation of this process. So
it should be noted that today earlier the commissioners, what did they do? They tabled one portion of the recommendations from the November 16th meeting, and that was regarding the raising of the non-conforming houses. So that has not been approved by the commissioners, and I don't even know what the instructions were now that I think about it. They didn't really give us any instructions. It's just they tabled it, and that was it, right?
I'll talk to you about that later. Okay. I think we need to,
But what my point was is that the outcome exactly for that right there may have a hinge on what the future discussions will be as well.
Right. Yeah, and it's certainly our initiative or our ability to put anything we want on our own agenda. Although we have some obligation to put on what we're requested by the commissioners to put on our agenda, but certainly things that make sense to us, we certainly can put on our agenda. And that seems to be consistent, even though we didn't get directions on that. It's obvious that ought to be something we work on in the future.
So do we have consensus on the items that David has just brought forward? Is there any other items that anyone has read through this document and wants to address sooner rather than later?
I would say on the issue of and this current ordinance, maybe appropriately, doesn't include the Planning Commission getting involved in a non-compliant submission for elevation, as Mike was saying. Is that discussion included in future subject matter, or how are we not going to do that?
I'm not sure if we can do that. I mean, it's changing the way things are done. I mean, maybe changing it in a positive way, but that's not what the commissioners have asked us to do.
I mean, all of this is kind of related to coastal flooding and sea level rise. And I think what you're suggesting is changing the whole permitting process. And I would be looking to the town commissioners for a recommendation.
Right. See, I think what would happen now is just like in the Grotto Pizza proposal, the commissioners planning commission to get involved, and they got involved and they made a recommendation. So I think in the future, if there was something that the town manager wanted us to get involved in, he'd consult with the commissioners might direct us to do something, which would be fine. That would be and that's a normal process. So that might happen in the future.
I mean, to some extent, we addressed that in the modifications to 185-60 by putting in a conditional use approval process for those, so it did go in there. So I think we can do that where that ties it into reviews related to basically exceptions.
Okay, good. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I was on our agenda. Well, we'll consider that.
I'd like to go back to the comment that Mike made about the Planning Commission getting involved in some preliminary review of plans. And I like the idea. I think it could be very all-encompassing. I'm not sure exactly how many plans Bill deals with, but maybe address it at least for anybody who is in a flood zone in non-conforming that deals with these kinds of issues, that they bring those to us with Bill's recommendations so we can review it and make some comments and adjustments. I think that would limit the number of non-conforming in the flood zone that want to raise their properties. So maybe we could have a preliminary review of that.
So the process would be then that they'd go to Bill, but then they somehow have to go to the commissioners, because the commissioners are the ones who give planning and zoning.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. We look at it as anybody in a non-conforming property, and that would include those that we're dealing with right now, that those come before us to take a look at it after Bill reviews it with his recommendations. We do a preliminary. We're not dealing with a lot of properties. They still can go to the Board of Adjustment. I mean, we may be able to offset them going to the Board of Adjustment and reach some agreement here. Mm-hmm. To help them find a way to comply versus that. But I think it'd be worthy of, I think if I were building it, rather than going to the Board of Adjustment, and I'd rather at least get some input from this, and it's not going to cost that much. It might.
So I can put together some materials and ideas related to these now five ideas for the next meeting when we're going to digest this.
It's at least worthy of a discussion among the board.
So we have consensus on that. I don't think we really need a vote, I don't believe.
Good.
But we're good on that. Okay. The next item on the agenda is something that we are required to do every year, and that is submit a report to
the Office of State Planning
with regard to where we're at on the comprehensive plan. How are we addressing the items that are outlined in our comprehensive plan? Where are we? And so to that end, we started a couple of years ago when we began this report with a draft that we've been working off of. And so what I've asked the Planning Commission members to do is go through this the prior year report to the State Planning Office and see if there's anything that you agree with, disagree, or we should be doing more for. So I have a couple items that I'd like to start out with, if you don't mind.
Chairman, we're going to look at this table here and modify.
Yes, we asked everyone to go through it in advance and to let us know, you know, what if anything items were that you saw that we could.
Right. Good. Good. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, the thing that was on my mind more than anything as I read over this is in the section regarding the Baywalk.
What page are you on?
I think I'm on.
Should be number six, bottom.
Transportation or something like that.
Yeah, page six under transportation.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, and I'm also in the marketing committee. And, you know, it became really apparent yesterday that, you know, it was, you know, we talked about what a loss it was that the bump outs in the proposed Baywalk were lost, you know. And I thought it was important. And as I read through this again, it's another way, a double team effort on behalf of the marketing committee and the planning commission. If we could keep it in front of the commissioner's eyes and mind, that this Baywalk is real, even though it may be far, far in the future, that is a good idea, and it's in our comprehensive plan, and that that we should be aware that this is where we're going, or something, some statement that says that we are interested in continuing that, and we're serious about accomplishing it in the next, you know, 30 years or something like that.
So currently this item reads, consider the planning and development of an extended Baywalk through the federal and state transportation enhancements programs. The status as of the last annual report was not started, and the only comment was need state help. And I think your point is that we still have not started it, and
but we need
a town champion for this, which presumably is the town manager. And I think that
The Baywalk is maybe somewhere, certainly the town manager or the commissioner, the building inspector can clarify that, but it's probably two or three years away. It's not that far away. I mean,
could be next year, starting next fall.
Yeah.
Well, that's the portion in front of the new development. But while the Baywalk calls for the whole way around, you know.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Oh, I see. It's not the bump out.
It's not the bump out.
That's just the start of the paywalk. In my mind, what the developers are going to do there would be the gateway to what we see as the bay walk, which would, I mean, I think we discussed Tower Road even to the head of the Bay Cove. You know, I mean, we're big dreamers, I know, but we're planning for the future. Let's remind ourselves, you know.
Maybe that is a 20-year plan at that point.
So Harry, I think that's a good point in general. I think at the back end of this, there's some overarching comments, and you know, again, one of the impediments has been change of town manager. We've had many town managers and change in the commission, the town commissioners, and basically no one has taken ownership of
that is
driving the plan forward, and I think that would be a recommendation that we should make as well.
Yeah. My other one, although it's very small, but it has to do with...
Where are you?
Well, I'll tell you where I am in a second, since I get what I'm supposed to do. On page 9, regarding cultural resources, participate in local and regional efforts to develop performing arts center. Okay, let's look at this, the word center. Now, we may not have a center in Dewey Beach, but we have a place that performing arts could happen, and that would be the beach. I think that we should acknowledge that, in the marketing efforts of the town, that we should consider the possibility that the beach could be used as a place that would you could see a play, you could see some type of dancing possibly. I at the marketing committee meeting the other day, I don't know if anybody's been to the Outer Banks, but they have a play there that's been going on for probably 30 years, and that's called The Lost Colony. And when I was a kid, that was done on the beach there. So, I mean, if things like that can take place, I mean, I don't think we need to wait for a center to start thinking about, cultural items for the town. Otherwise, we'll be waiting forever.
Yeah, well, certainly. I would include educational programs, like I think the Beach Patrol has the nature education or ocean familiarization courses and stuff would be consistent with that cultural development.
Anybody else bring specifics?
So we want to get rid of the word center and make it...
Well, we can't get rid of the word center.
Yeah, we're not changing it, but we can. I think by at least starting some type of performing arts, then we would be that step closer to one day achieving a center.
I mean, the word center is in the comprehensive plan. That's one of the objectives. Okay, so without changing the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, so we want to elaborate on the center. The center is really diffused across 2 miles of beach. Oceanfront.
I'd just like to maybe get some information since I'm new to this, but also it's a concern of mine on page 6, plan recommendations, working with DLDOT to develop a long-range plan for improvements in design and safety of Highway 1 within Dewey Beach. I'm sure we're all aware of how unsafe it can be for pedestrians at times, and I don't know what has happened in the past with the town and DLDOT trying to get something done to improve the safety. And also, I know this would be a stretch, but my family walks between Dewey and Rehoboth all the time, and crossing that bridge in Rehoboth is horrible, especially if you're pushing a stroller. Maybe we should think about getting together with the Rehoboth Beaches Planning Commission or people have a joint meeting and see if we can put our heads together and try to convince DLDOT to do something, because that's a route that is not only Rehoboth Beach, it's Dewey Beach people going in and out of town all the time. Yeah. It's dangerous. And, I think that should be prioritized in our comprehensive plan and efforts in the future to get some safety along that route and in town here. I know working with DLDOT can be very difficult and frustrating, but if you give up, it's never going to get done.
Okay.
And it has to be done. This route, Highway 1 in Dewey has to be made safer, and we got to start, I think we have to start conversations with Rehoboth about what can be done up there. That could be, building a new bridge, of course, is a lot of money, but there's other things that can be done that's been done throughout the country that, is reasonable financially to do.
That's what I'd like to see addressed in more.
You would imagine that we would have wider sidewalks on the bridge, because the bridge is probably a 2-foot-wide sidewalk or something, and if there's cross-strap,
You can't push a baby stroller down there and have two people on it. When somebody's coming this way, somebody's going to get out on the street.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And even the wider baby strollers for 2 or 3 kids these days don't fit down there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people walk between Dewey and Rehoboth.
Sure.
And it's dangerous.
But those kind of additions, or those kind of improvements, are what you're thinking about.
I think you got to start a dialogue. And Dewey can't do it, but I think if we start a dialogue with Rehoboth and say, look, we recognize there's a problem with your residents and our residents, can we start talking about this and maybe meet with LDOT?
Because it really is on the north side of the unincorporated land, I think. So it's kind of not on our border. It's not on our border, but it's certainly on in our world.
It's in our world.
Yeah.
And Route 1 right here.
It's a neutral zone between the two towns, basically.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people use it on a regular basis. Babies being pushed in strollers, kids learning how to ride their bikes with the training wheels and everything. It's it's wide open. Cars come flying through there. I know we have a speed indicator there, and radar is there enough times, but
I'm sympathetic with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, did you have a comment?
Yeah, Gail Cook, Chesapeake Street. I had marked on my paper the same thing you're talking about, and there's two of them. One is the one at the top of that page, and one is the one you just read. There have been plans that have been made and approved by the state for changing the highway here and 1A going into Rehoboth. And it was all completely approved. The only thing they said was the money wasn't there. The problem is that, again, we have not, when David Worth had a champion to go after this. When Pat Wright was mayor, she tried to push it, and they had approved it. The state approved it. When they got the reconstruction money from the Obama administration, I tried to push it, and the then town manager said, well, it's not a shovel-ready project. And I said, it was. I mean, all the plans are there between the town and the state, all the plans are there. If you get a champion, and with sports costs involved now and the safety issue of Highway 1 in general, that could be our end. And dealing with Rehoboth, with bringing them in with the bridge issue, And I've been pushing the safety issue with the safety committee coming up 1A. That's the perfect time to do it. And I would hope that you all, you know, I can't say that's why I stood up and ran my mouth there. I would hope that you all would push that as part of your agenda, because that's going to be a major improvement for the town. Not only just it's not only the safety issue of the road, it's things that have to do with safety. They're talking about taking down the old lamppost and making it more of a town-friendly type lamppost, you know, changing the color of the walkways on the side of the road so that people can be seen at night going down 1A. It was all state approved, so the plans are there. They're in town hall. I've seen them, and the state has them. And if you all champion that, you might, just like on the safety committee, when they championed something, it got done. So it may get done with you all behind it.
I have a question. I mean, do you think that, I mean, looking at this wording, maybe not, but I mean, do you think that the minimal efforts that the town has done to help with the safety along the streets, could that, I mean, for instance, putting up the barriers and talking about jaywalking and increasing those things, could that notch us up from the N to the U possibly on this subject? Or are we stuck on the end, not yet started because of its...
So we have barriers, and we have cab stands.
Right, I forgot about
you
that.
Know, so...
Well, when are the barriers put up?
At night, after the bars get out.
Yeah, so they're not there during the day for, you know, the other people to use, so it's limited. I mean, it's a start, I guess.
It's a start, so, yeah, so I, you know, it's...
I never seen them.
So I had a bunch of issues. Chuck, you?
No.
I just had a couple. One would be to take a look at the use of Lake Comegys and Silver Lake. Part of it is in the town limits on both. We've kind of excluded that in any discussion. DENREC, Department of Natural Resources, obviously has claimed now that they're responsible for the lakes. But it could be, potentially, we've got a section right inside of Dewey that is just all wooded, dead, there's all kinds of brush in there, that maybe that could be opened up as another little a mini park, so to speak. But we could use it as a recreation, just to look at the recreational purposes for town.
Is that on the east side of Route 1 you're talking about, as you're heading towards Rehoboth?
Mm-hmm. Who owns it?
Is that private property?
Part of it's private property, but part of it, there's an area there.
It's a county right-of-way through
yeah.
there. Yeah. Or top of the storm store drain.
But that doesn't have anything to do with what we did in the past year.
No. I'm just saying. I thought we were opening it up for a possible.
Well, I mean,
if not, then that's okay. But I thought.
You know, I'd like to focus on getting the drive.
I just threw it off.
Yeah, no, that's a good comment.
You can reject it.
No, that's a good comment for future discussions.
Okay.
Next year.
Right. Clearly in the first couple of pages, the members of the Planning Commission need to be updated, and contact information for the town manager and the town commissioners has to be updated. On page 4, under plan recommendations, the first item, this has to do with building codes and things. It basically says that town enforces building codes under the 2003 International Building Code. And Bill, have we now moved to 2011? The IBC 2011 or 2012?
2013.
Mm-hmm. So, we can update that.
Right.
And that might actually move us to complete.
That
might move us in this category to in process to complete. We originally, 2 years ago, we said we work under the 2003, we should consider updating, and so we've updated, and so we're now.
Well, the county's updated, so we are
automatically
compromised with the county.
So I think that's a change we should make. Under the next one, the bottom note is working on a draft deteriorated buildings legislation that went nowhere, and we're not working on it anymore, and so I would suggest deleting that. On page 6 under transportation, the second item under objectives is identifying specific areas in need of transportation improvements and local policy changes, and I would have thought that maybe we could move that to complete in terms of pedicabs and fixed route transportation and signage and pedicab licensure and so.
Which one is that again?
The second one under plan objectives, identify specific areas in need of transportation improvements and local policy changes, page 6.
Yeah, I think so.
The bottom one says, consider conducting a comprehensive mobility-friendly assessment of its transportation infrastructure to ensure pedestrian and bicycle traffic is not being impeded or endangered by automotive traffic. And to some extent, I think that should be moved from in progress to not started yet, because I mean, I haven't seen us do anything.
We haven't done anything on that.
So the bottom of page 7.
With the exception of the pedestrian thing, by putting the barricades up, you can kind of say that kind of falls into that a little bit in the evening.
Well, I don't see that as comprehensive.
Well, it may not be comprehensive, but we've done something.
So you would leave that as N? You would leave that as in progress? Or would you downgrade that to not started?
I mean, well, I like it in progress. I mean, I think there have been improvements.
The fact that we're talking about it.
I can see it's going back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Page 7, the bottom, under recommendations, review providing public restrooms and baywalk path. I don't know whether or not that should be moved from in progress to complete.
I just say in progress.
In progress.
Not completed.
Okay.
I mean, you heard the report from the
Page 8, under the first item under plan recommendation, consider the development and implementation of a municipal ordinance for the protection of trees. This said, complete and working well, we'll revisit in 2013, which is the five-year mark. We didn't revisit it in 2013. Do we want to indicate that we will revisit this in 2015, or do we want to strike that phrase in its entire, strike the clause, we'll revisit?
Why do we want to, I don't know that we've had any issues in this since we've developed the ordinance.
When we passed the ordinance, we passed the downgraded issue of the initial, and said we would come back and readdress this in the future if there was some reason to readdress it in the future, and we haven't. Now, your point is, it seems to work. There haven't been any complaints, so I'll just strike that language.
Well, we have had complaints where people thought that they removed trees where they were not permitted, but they were actually
permitted.
In compliance.
Okay. I mean, we didn't revisit in 2013. You know, I don't think we should say we're going to revisit in 2013. And page 9, the second item under objectives. I don't know why I said this. I publicly consider and act and enforce policies and programs that appropriately and effectively enhance the culture of the town. I think that we can, we should identify some of these, you know, trees and dogs and no smoking and bike racks and pedestrian barricades and
that's
things.
That's a good point.
On page...
You'd like to get rid of one of the X's like the ongoing or?
Well, some of these we have completed but are...
Doing more or something.
Reviewing them right on an ongoing basis. The state only requires NU and C, not started, in progress, complete. And there are some things that we still, you know, we wanted to show that we were still working on things. That, page 10 under plan recommendations, despite the fact that we said complete and complete with a 2009 zoning code, I think we should just note that this is ongoing because we continue to review and update our codes. On page 11, under the first objective, which has to do with financing, I would note that we are exploring the Fair Share Initiative just as something that we are doing. And the next one...
Hold on a second. The term fair share, that is
I wouldn't use
that. That's not
okay.
Our term.
I'll do nothing.
I mean, I don't mind doing it. I just don't want to call it fair share.
I think continuing to review
fine.
Revenues and expenditures is broad enough to cover whatever the term fair share means.
The next one has to do, says, take steps to maintain consistency with established guidelines for appropriate and responsible public fiscal management and accounting activities. It currently says complete. I would also check ongoing. And then I would delete the two bullet items under that, which speaks to a director of finance who we currently...
We have a part-time director of finance.
So we should modify that to a part-time...
Part-time director of finance.
And we no longer have a standing audit.
We no longer have
a standing budget and finance committee.
Yeah, and just strike that.
And so I will strike budget and finance committee. Two further down, I will strike the Budget and Finance Committee again because it's...
So you change these bullets here, but you keep it as a C, as a complete?
Well, I would put ongoing as check ongoing as well.
C plus ongoing.
C plus ongoing.
I mean,
and
it's always going to be a
little bit of balance.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we, you know, did it once
still.
And are standing still.
I I have one other on that same page, 11. And that's under general goals, and that is to provide for town sanitation. I think we need to notch that backwards to you, because how can we say that it's completed when the town does not provide any restroom facilities? I mean, if the town is out here, you know, offering nighttime activities on the beach for families and kids and stuff, and not providing restrooms, then that's not providing for the town sanitation. I'm sorry.
Well, in a way, once because of the MAR, once the second stage is completed, they will have public restrooms as per the town's requirement. So in a way, you kind of, does it do the whole job? No. But there is a provision for public facilities.
I mean, I'm willing to put that back at a, you know, in progress, because yeah, in progress is good. I would also add that the town has changed its approach to its trash collection regulations.
Right.
That's part of...
Mm-hmm.
So on page 13, there's some significant accomplishments. The one related to Director of Finance, I would point to, it's a part-time seasonal code enforcement officer effort. I mean, have we discontinued that, or is...
For, where are you?
This is the fifth bullet under two. It says seasonal code enforcement effort, better enforcement, increased revenues. I guess that's good. I would add under that we've had a positive budget result in FY13, and we're trending positive in FY14. I believe that's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the Director of Finance, I think the important message here is that, you know, we have maybe an Office of Finance or a Director of Finance in a sense. The fact that we're providing, I think the town manager is providing that capability today with a part-time person doesn't mean that we're going backwards. It just means that we're becoming more efficient. And we're getting what we need out of that position, as far as I know. So we're not skipping, or we're not without something.
And then under negative trends and conditions, I would add a bullet. I mean, a negative trend in condition, as I see it, is increased coastal storm severity and sea level rise issues.
Why do we want to keep in the first bullet, unplanned departure of two town managers? Why is that that's kind of past. We've got a full-time town manager who's been there going on a little over a year and a half now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that explained 2 years ago why we hadn't made a whole lot of progress against something.
So we made some progress there.
So the unplanned departure, you want to take that out of there, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's old news, right?
Yeah, that's old news.
And then on page 14, under planning issues and changes for which state help is required, I'd like to add a bullet at the top of this list that planning and financial support for responses to pressing sea level rise needs is an issue.
Good. Good credit for something we did today.
And if that meets with people's approval, then I will create a draft that addresses the comments here today. And
on the public safety thing, we might want to add the cameras that have been put into place.
So where's that?
I forgot exactly, and I just thought of that.
Okay, public safety. I got it.
And that was a partnership between.
So this amended version would come at the next meeting or something, okay. Approved. And
I mean, we're prepared to vote on it right now. I think with these, I would make a motion that we approve this review or this update of the planning plan. Consistent with the changes that we've discussed here, and we have notes on, including the assistant chairman. That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we have any further discussion on that? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that concludes our issues for today. I'd like to advise everyone that there is the next Planning Commission meeting is not going to be on the sea level rise, but it's going to be on a restaurant with a group that will be coming up either Friday the 31st of January at 7 p.m. or Saturday the 1st of February, either scheduled at 10 a.m. or 1 p.m. So do we have any, are we waiting to hear, we just need to
they,
decide
they
on this.
They apparently are good with either of those.
So could
any three, yeah, any of those.
We have a comment.
Yeah, I'm David Thomas here, 1 Reed Street, unit 316. And that's a third floor unit that I bought and occupy as a condominium. If I were to fall ill and slide into hospice care, I could live there, watching the sun come up over the ocean and go down over Thompson Island. That's one of my rights there. The concern that I have is that that's a building that was built in 1965 and to a height of 38 and a half feet or something like that. And there's all kinds of methodologies as to how you measure that height, but assuming for the purposes of my concern and question that it is indeed 2.5 or 3 feet over the 35 limit. I'm speaking today personally, although I'm on the council. I know as being a member of the council, we're in the process of having the building appraised. One of the things is, if it were to have substantial damage, we'd like to bring it up to modern code. We'd like to have an elevator. We'd like to have a few extra parking spaces, and so on. And what do we do with the laundry? That's an electrical. How do you get a base elevation? How do you go up a couple of feet? The FEMA wants you to go up a couple of feet if we're already over 35 feet. So the question is, at root, is there an exception or a grandfathering or a dispensation for a building that is above 35 feet and older than 1981, older than the charter, older than Dewey, built in 1965? There was a hearing recently where there was talk that in terms of a zoning building type context that the punishment has to fit the crime. Well, here there's no crime. The building that I own in has completely clean hands. We were built before Dewey was created at a height higher than the 35 feet. So if we're going to have an elevator with an elevator shaft, if we're going to try to do this and do that, in the context of what I've heard discussed today, why shouldn't we be able to go that extra couple of feet that we need to go, even if that takes us from 38 and a half feet up to 41 and a half feet, or some such number? Why wouldn't that be fair to what I understand is the only building in Dewey that's higher than 35 feet and older than 1981, the building that I'm in? That's my concern.
Well, it's a valid concern, and I think we're going to see a lot of discussion on that in the coming months.
And if I may say, you know, yeah, I'm on the third floor. That's the one maybe that would take the hit. But we're willing to pay a lot of money so that we can get this building rebuilt if it were substantially damaged after a storm. We want to be within the modern building code. We want to have an elevator. Particularly if I'm in a hospice situation, it's going to be tough to get up to the third floor. You know, so yeah, we're on the same page. We want a safe building. We want an elevated building. We want a building that doesn't have repetitive damage, that's built to a modern, thoughtful, helpful kind of a way that doesn't become problematical because, you know, with each storm there's damage to it because it's been built in a way that avoids that. So we want to do the right thing. I mean, the opposite view would be we could take this, hey, we're not going to insure the building so that it gets rebuilt in a nice kind of a way. We're just going to take the money and run when the building gets bashed down by the waves. Is that wise policy? Is that where we want to go? I don't think so. I think you would want people in an oceanfront building in this little town. And that's our jewel, that we have the ocean and the bay, to rebuild in that kind of a way. And as I say, I think that the thing that I'm expressing, if you look around, I was interested to hear that somebody had found that there were 79 residential properties on the bayside. It's only one here, just one building. And all you have to do is put a little carrot in some of those sentences that say, not, you know, built subsequent to 1981, whatever that date that Dewey was created, and that would be the answer. And so that's a little tweak that I think would be appropriate. Having said all that, I hope it never happens, you know? Maybe it's something my children or my grandchildren, you know, will face because I'd like them to have a place like that. Thank you.
Yes, James.
I don't know if I'll be here when you folks are hopefully going to go to Florida sometime soon when my wife finally gets together, but this whole freeboard discussion, and I'm concerned about the unintended consequences, and everything's not equal throughout town, but these 79 properties on the bayside could be adversely impacted, more so than the properties on the ocean side, because I understand what 35 feet means. I understand it comes from grade. I understand out in front of my house, it's 3 feet, and then we measure 35. When we were doing construction there, we got to the top and found out that my mason added 4 feet, and we shot it again, and instead of 16-inch joists in a roof, we have 12-inch because we had to notch them out and strengthen them up. So if you go freeboard plus one, my house, for an example, I've got 30 feet to work with. Freeboard plus two, I got 29. 3 times 8 is 24 plus two in between is 26. It lets me have 3 foot for a roof. My roof on that house got changed and it's now a metal roof because in order for me to get the height, we had to change the slope of the roof. So as you start having this discussion and people start playing with numbers, and I get scared as hell when I heard what was going on up here today with the commissioners and the public coming up and saying, oh, I want to park under my house, and one commissioner say, oh, it can be up to 10 feet. And if you start mandating things that have an adverse impact on folks and take floors away from them because you're now mandating 2 feet freeboard or 3 foot freeboard in some areas of the town, it's going to impact those areas, the area of the town that we're trying to help right now. It's going to adversely impact them because they don't have as much height to play with as over here. Okay? So you got to be careful where you're going with all this, and really, I like the recommendation of educating the commissioners. When they make decisions on the fly, like they're making, and I always used to caution them, let's go to workshop, let's work this out more. You're making decisions that you don't know how one decision is going to impact another decision. You really have to be careful with this. So I caution you when you are saying you're going to mandate plus one, plus two, plus three, you're affecting property values and you're affecting people's ability to build possibly a three-story home versus a two-story home in some areas of the town. So, you know, just watch that, especially watch it until you address the 35-foot issue. The 35-foot issue needs to be addressed on these properties before you start falling with the freeboard number.
Jim, at least in my defense, I did put the increased freeboard after the 35 feet.
Exactly.
Because we've had this discussion before.
I have confidence in you. I don't have confidence in some of the seat-of-the-pants decisions that I see and some of the discussion I see, because people use an issue to get something more that they want. And
that was the first comment Chuck made when we started talking about increasing the freeboard, is that shrinks. If you don't change 35 feet, that shrinks the envelope.
My 38 feet is probably Chuck's 36, 37 feet down where his property is. So you have to watch it.
I understand that reminder.
Is there any other comments before we conclude the meeting? Okay, so I'd like to get a consensus of when the Planning Commission would like to meet regarding the restaurant issue on the corner of Salisbury Street.
Saturday's better for me.
Saturday's fine.
Okay. All right, so Saturday, how about 10 a.m. then?
Sure.
Okay. So the next meeting will be Saturday, February 1st at 10 a.m.
Can I ask a question? That's nothing to do. When's your last day?
I think it's today.
Yeah. Well, I would like to make a motion that we thank Harry for, I can't even imagine how many years, plus 20 years of phenomenal service to the town.
Qualifying for pension.
Yeah.
Where's my gold watch? Well, listen, I'd like
to. And I want to thank you for all the leadership you provide.
Appreciate it. It means a lot.
Thank you.
I want to say really fast that I really want to thank you guys. Out of all of the different Planning Commission members that I've had over the years and been a part of, by far, you guys are the best, hands down. And I really appreciate it. I've learned so much. It's incredible. And I look at this not as like a service to the town, but I look at it more like it's been a huge opportunity, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I move we adjourn.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor.